Hello, hello, hello. Welcome to On Staying Sane with Dr. Denise McDermott. Hello, Dr. Denise.
Hi, everyone. This is the Dr. Denise Show, and this is the new On Staying Sane series with Kathleen O'Toole, Emmy Award
nurse. O'Toole.
Oh, my goodness. I feel like you almost just really... Okay. I'm going to let you go.
So today's show is called... The show must go on. And we have lived that in every corner and crevice of our lives. And Dr. Denise and I just lived that here with trying to get this show recorded because some pesky teenager was playing with my computer. And we almost couldn't figure out how to un-teenager it, but we did. And the show is going on. Am I making sense, Dr. Denise?
No, you are. And I think it's one of those, I like to have phrases when you're like, you've got to be kidding me. I mean, one of the things, the goal for this show is to give people tips and tools, but also how do we stay sane? Like, what do we tell ourselves? And literally since that we went into 2022, I don't know how many people are feeling, how is the show? Like, how are we going to do this earth ride? So the show must go on for all of us and everything we're faced every day.
Right. So, you know, we could all say, well, all of this is about the pandemic, but it is, but it's not. You know, we have to make pivots and we have to make readjustments all the time. And it's not just because of a virus. We've had to before. And when this virus is gone, we will still have to make these changes when things don't go our way. And so Dr. Denise and I thought, well, what a great topic, right? You know, some of us are very, very strict with how we want things to go. We have a vision, and that's great. That's your neurostyle, to have this vision that's really tight. Neurostyle, Dr. Denise, is the word you coined.
Yes, yeah, so that we all process and perceive things in our own unique way. And I think when I say the show must go on, I'm also talking about resiliency, adapting, right, being human, being vulnerable, being transparent. And what does it take to have the show go on? And we can do deep dives on, I'm interested in what perspective you want to go, because this could be its own show called The Show Must Go On.
Right. But I mean, so a lot of things, this is pretty universal right now. A lot of things have gotten canceled in 2021, 2020, now already 2022, things are getting canceled again that had been hoping to go. So that's disappointing, right? There's a lot of emotions that come up when you really, really wanted to do something. So I get to ask the doctor, like, how do you walk people through that when there's no fixing it? The event is canceled. The trip is canceled. The graduation is canceled. The dance is canceled. How do you tell people who just feel like crushed because they can't count on these things anymore?
So first of all, when I hear you speak, the first thing that came to mind is I'm finding that what I call the pulse of consciousness, how we're feeling when we're reading our news or our social media feeds or finding out in our email that something is canceled. I think a lot of people are losing hope and they're going to this place of like learned helplessness. It's like, you've got to be kidding me. It's like it's like this, I'm sure I'm not a marathon runner, but I'm a swimmer, but maybe at the 14th or 15th mile, you hit possibly like a wall and you have to kind of keep going. So that is the show must go on. So I really think adapting, I think I want to just be really human. You know, yeah. I'm here as the doctor, but I had to pivot like we all did during the holidays. I think a lot of people's holidays were filled with recovering from whether it was a cold, a strep throat, or people were the C word, or people were actually stranded or they didn't get to their flights. So I think everyone was having such, you know, like it's like Merry Christmas, Happy New Year. And I think we're as human beings, we have compartments in the way we hope things to be versus the reality. And so even if we weren't in a pandemic, people might have this idea of how they want their holidays to be versus what. So if you have this added layer of pandemic, and also I think our country is going through a lot of growing pains. I'm saying that trying to be in a nice way. I'm even rephrasing that instead of using the word, I'm being mindful of my words. So I think that's another,
right. I think. Can I ask, is that why you say the C word? Like, is that a trigger for people?
I know that I just started doing that because I think we're so over it. So, okay. So part of the show must go on, you know, as an adult and child psychiatrist, and also as a producer, one of the things I'm passionate about and podcaster is helping people realize that what we ingest in our mind, what we read, but what we tell ourselves and the words we choose help us to have an optimal moment to moment to have a better show going on, even when things are going wrong. So, I mean, I know people might think of the C word as a cuss word, but I've just decided, you know, I know when people, let me just give you another example. We'll take it away from that C word.
Well, they might think that you're being political too. Because there's a lot of politics involved with the virus.
Well, no, let me actually, for right now, just be the Dr. Denise, the MD, integrative psychiatrist. Sure. So when someone in my practice is diagnosed with major depression, generalized anxiety, bipolar, or if someone I know has cancer, diabetes. So for instance, you don't want to just land on a word or a disease process. So part of the way of a show must go on is being aware of your own thoughts, words, and actions. We talked about this, and this is going to come up all the time. So I made the strategic, we can say COVID. I'm not afraid of saying COVID. I'm not afraid of it, but I think we're all over it. So get over it. So in you asking me that precise question, in that moment, I just decided not to say the word. And so I think everyone needs to remember that we have a choice of the words we choose. We have a choice of the healthy habits we do. We have a choice of who's in our life. We have a choice as to what dosage of whatever we ingest that we watch on the show, on the computer. So I think part of the show must go on is how do we stay in the space of our own version, your own version, Kathleen, everyone's own version, their neurostyle of adapting and having hope and resiliency moment to moment.
Okay. So basically it's a, you know, it's not a one size fits all answer because we're all so beautifully different.
Well, it's also about cognitive reframing. What that means is in the moment, we're here right now having this exact moment. And I'm not afraid to say that, but we can just make the decision. Okay, now moving on from that, but how do you still thrive? So you talked about the disappointment. I had disappointment. I'm sure you, did you have any, do you want to just do some real quick disappointments that we recently had and how our show still went on? I think that might be more authentic because, you know, I had a disappointment. My mom was not able to come here for the holidays because I had bronchitis and she had some health issues. And we just didn't think it was smart for her to get on the plane from my sister's house to here. And we were right for many reasons. But then I just told myself all the other good things that I had done. I had already celebrated the holidays with many friends. I had had so much joy in picking out all the gifts. And I thought if I couldn't see her in person, I don't know about you, but I've started doing handwritten cards and snail mail. I even put on a little cute like plaid tartan hat and I call my car the Chariot. And I went and I dropped off gifts, social distance from my friends, with my friends that had COVID. You know, I had bronchitis.
That's an example of cognitive reframing you're teaching us. Like instead of just sitting there and being so sad that you couldn't see your mom, you said, okay, like how can I take this, turn it, and make it special. And so you got your Chariot and your tartan hat and you gave out the presents and all of a sudden you're feeling joyful.
Yes. And also there's times when we can all feel defeated because I thought I was on the mend and now I am on the mend again. So I want to validate that there's days, even if you hit that joyful moment, we all have setbacks. And then I think surrendering that the most important thing is self-care and our health. I think we're all really aware of our immune systems right now. Mm-hmm. And that's part of the show must go on. How do we adapt in this current moment in history with our unique health, our unique mental health, and our inner circle? How do we, and also play? But I want to let you kind of ask me anything about that.
Well, I did want to kind of you know, I wanted to step into some very deep waters, and then I promised that we'll end it a little bit lighter. But during this time, people have lost others, whether it be through a death, right? This time of year, people remember the deaths a lot more. It just sometimes it's especially hard to deal with, or even the loss of a relationship, you know, the loss of a marriage or a relationship. And that is a time where the show must go on, right? We're left without our loved one, but we have to keep putting one foot in front of the other. I know that you can't solve this pain for us, you know, in a paragraph, but how do we go forward? What do you inspire us, please?
So I want to do a sacred pause since you brought up the concept of, you know, people that are no longer with us here on earth. So right. I think let's just talk about, there's been a lot of loss because of the pandemic, and you are going in deeper waters. And so people, I think, get triggered, you know, that's why maybe I also said the C word, because I
precisely.
You know, so I just had, I know someone, I'm not going to say their whole health thing, but when my mom in her, you know what, I just want to say, I'm sending a lot of love. My mom, someone that she knows, just lost their child to COVID. And I just wanted to do a mindful pause, because I know many people in the last couple of years that have experienced loss because of the pandemic. But I also, as a psychiatrist, I've been on the front lines helping people to decide to stay on earth and not kill themselves, because we not only have the physical aftermath of what's going on and continue to go on for our humanity, but we have the emotional aftermath. And I think that the way to go through it is you have to allow your feelings. You know, I talk about awareness, self-love, and altruism. We are here having the human experience. So you're allowed to be sad. You're allowed to be angry. You're allowed to be upset. But one of the most important things for the show must going on is to surround your inner circle and make sure you have the right support, whether that is a family friend, a loved one, mm-hmm. a spouse, mm-hmm. a spiritual leader, a psychiatrist, a Reiki master. I'm all about having a tight inner circle, so you have lots of tools in right. your own toolbox to go right. up that kind of from crisis to stabilization and thrive. And, you know, we can have multiple feelings at once. We can be sad for humanity, but we can also be in our own joy that our life is going right. We can't let, I believe it's very important to realize that we're multidimensional, and that you can be grieving a loss of a relative or grieving the loss of a relationship, but you can still find glimmers of hope, moments of joy. And gratitude is a big energy vibrational frequency of hitting pause and taking inventory at everything that's going right in your life, so that you can pull yourself out of maybe that despair feeling.
I just want to remark about my mom's story, if you would indulge me for a second. You know, my mom and dad, my father died 6 years ago, almost 7 now, and they were very close. Somebody might say codependent, but they did everything together, from going to the bank. And I mean, it just was one of those marriages where they were together. Mm-hmm. And so when he was lost, she was lost for a while. And then you could see her gathering her strength, and she joined the church group and the ladies club in her community and the crochet club, and she joined the silver sneakers ladies. I mean, this lady, my mother, joined everything, and she went from like really being in solitude to finding like a new, and she found ways to make friends, and she's like, I'm learning to remember everyone's names. She's like really reinvented herself, and I'm so proud of her. And you know, it's hard to do, but it can happen. Like my mom is pretty, she's one of those pretty rigid people that if she did it, other people can do it. Like this, we never forget my father, but she has recrafted her life, and it's really inspiring.
So I love hearing that. And I've known Kathleen since elementary school. And so I'd like to do a pause and just honor Tony, the memory of your father, and my father's John. And I think that's another way. I think sometimes when we talk about death or someone's no longer here, a lot of times those are situations where we don't name the person's name. And to me, that's the opposite advice that I would give. You know, I use the C word. I think I like to do reverence and remember that whatever our belief system is, whether we believe, you know, eternal soul, whether we believe energy, or we just believe it's only this existence, the energy of love and the remembrance of your mom and dad's sacred love, no one can ever take that away. I like to say love never dies. And that's a real big tip when we're talking about grieving. And I want to celebrate your mother for her resiliency and her show must go on. My mother, we lost my father a little over a decade ago. And my mom, too, joined a grief group. She did therapy. I mean, she's actually still really good friends with all those ladies. In fact, she hosted a very safe, that she made sure everyone had their COVID tests, you know, remembrance, and created a sacred space for her friends this week. And so I think that in those despair moments, we have to go deep within like your mom did. And I will tell you, the show must go on for me. I got my voice back about 30 minutes before we went into the new year. And I'm like, oh my God, my voice is back, you know, even though it's waxed and waned. And I decided that the show must go on. And I've already, besides this show, I've done 7 shows to bring in the new year, and they're getting huge momentum. So at a time when, you know, for me, this is also really important with the show must go on. You need to find your own personal happiness and your own personal joy that's in your toolbox. And it could be the most simple things. Like for me, it was recording a show on New Year's Eve when I couldn't see anyone, or lighting a candle. I mean, what are your things that you do, Kathleen, when you were, you know, on the front lines of the news, reporting, being a mother? How did you, on some days when it was difficult for you, what were some of your resiliency tools for going on and staying present?
Well, so I've honed them more now that I could be a little bit more mindful. But I really enjoyed a meditation class that I took, and I can now meditate. And the funny thing I learned about meditation, because I always want to do things really well and really achieve, and that's not how meditation works.
Meditation.
Yeah. So I want to just be the best meditator. And then I'm like, oh, you're allowed to just be terrible at this. And then you keep doing it. The show must go on. You keep meditating, even though because a lot of people push that idea to the curb because they like, I can't do it. My mind monkeys around. I jump. No. You're the perfect person to do it, because the show must go on. You just keep trying it. And so I do this box breathing I do this breathing technique, because sometimes you really, like during the holidays, can be a little tight with, you know, I've got a family all in the house and we all got sick. And so at one point I went into the bathroom and I shut the door, because that's where you get your privacy. And I did my box breathing. I just sat on the floor and breathed. And I felt so, like they say, 6 full breaths of can really reset your brain, and it works. And I'm like a firm believer that also of exercise. Like when you're at your lowest, just move as much as you can, whether it be just walking. You don't have to be like a marathon runner. Just get your exercise, and that will lift you, and that will help you when the show seems like it's not going to go on.
So I actually just want to champion that, because we're giving lots of tips and tools for people. And this month, I still haven't gone underwater. I did it once. And I'm like, oh my God, your lungs are not ready for this. But my adaptive perfectionism versus restrictive, because I meditate and pray and the pool's like my magic place, I put a little cute hat on and I just wore different nice bathing suits and waited for a sunshine day. And instead of swimming, I just was walking in the pool. I've been spending like 2 to 3 hours at the pool when I can, because I'm a single mom. I'm a doctor doing telehealth. And my son, this is a good other tips and tools. There's different regions of the world right now that have different beliefs and different ways they're handling the pandemic. And my son right now has to do PCR testing at his private school every week. So I know the people that I know that have had, that are in recovery from the virus, you know, a lot of them, it was really mild. Some were really serious. And so I think we're all kind of really still trying to figure out, even if we've had it, are we going to get it again? How do I keep my family safe? So I think these core things that you just talked about with hope, meditation, fitness, resiliency, we've talked about gratitude. I also think humor is really important, but I'm not talking about sarcastic humor. I love laughter, but I'm not saying we can never be sarcastic. But I came up with this, you know, I've talked about self-care as the new cool, deep play, and love all kind, kind of in a ascension. Also, of course, embrace your neuro style. Those are, that's a series. But when I say those words, like self-care is the new cool, I'm wanting people to really take that in a deeper way. So that is, when we say, what is meditating? It's actually being in the moment of now and having inner peace and paying attention to your own words and thoughts and actions, just like you did with the box breathing. I mean, did you check in with yourself and say, whoa, I cannot do box breathing around my family?
No, my family was just, pardon the expression, driving me crazy, and I needed to get away from them and then de-stress from them. So, but I've also talked to my little one about it. You know, they somehow kids hate to hear about deep breathing. My kids are like, nah, you know, they're like,
well, but I feel like people don't like the word meditation because they feel like they have to go and sit there and go, I mean, like, oh my God, right. I got to put all white on and I have to go on a trip.
Right. No, I mean, mine's not like that at all. And my box breathing is like, you know, just slowing down the breathing, doing some breath holding, making a big inhale, long and big, and a long and big exhale with holding the breath in between. And it really works for me. And, you know, it's simple. And it you can do it in your car when the person in the front is driving you crazy with the out of state plate, you know what I'm talking about?
Let's put a link in for box breathing because I think it's very important. Okay.
I just made it up. I'll see if there's a link. I'm sure I can find it.
No, there's a link for sure to box breathing.
I mean, I thought I made it up myself.
Oh, no, you might have learned it in, there's actually a whole technique on, but so there is.
I'm sure I do it wrong.
Well, it's okay. It's not wrong. Oh my God. That's hilarious. That is part of the show going on. I'm going to still put the link to adaptive versus restrictive. So, Kathleen Zero Styles wanted to get an A+ on discussing
in meditation. Box
breathing on staying sane. And she's still working on her meditation. And maybe when she starts to say deep breathing to her kids, they won't want to throw something at her. Stay tuned to our next on staying sane. The show must fucking go on.
Yay! All right. Well, did we cover everything you wanted to? Because that's a great ending.
I think so. Thank you so much. Thanks, everyone. We got this. The show must go on.
We do.